This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Governor Gretchen Whitmer has announced a date for reopening Michigan's factories. This is huge news for the thousands of auto workers and others who can be brought back online. As we've heard this week, that won't be a simple process. The state is still ramping up virus testing and contact tracing to try to get better information about the spread of COVID-19. And there are numerous other issues to be worked out for those who are still idle. Debbie Dingell represents Michigan's 12th congressional district, including towns like Dearborn, Lincoln Park, and Ann Arbor. Congresswoman Dingell, welcome back to Stateside.
It is great to be with you.
Tell me a little bit about what you're hearing from folks in the 12th district based on conversations you've been able to have with them in the past couple of weeks.
You know, I talk to a lot of people. I'm on the phone from 6:30 in the morning, frequently to 10 or 11 o'clock at night. One night this week, it was past midnight. And people are still worried about their unemployment checks, although the number of calls is beginning to diminish.
We should say there are people who have not been able to file yet, even though they've been idle all this time.
So it's a very scary thing. I think that one of the things I try to tell people, and it doesn't really matter if you're the person that can't file or can't get through, but none of this existed 6 or 7 weeks ago. The state has processed 1.2 million unemployment checks in the last few weeks. But if you're one of the people that hasn't gotten them, it's scary, it hurts, you're scared, and you want to get through the system. You've got small businesses. I have some good conversations now. At the beginning, nobody could get through. They were scared, they were panicked, they're worried. They're still scared and worried, trying to figure out what reopening looks like. Some still can't get through. But some of my small businesses have gotten checks. So that's a good feeling. And I'm spending a lot of time on the phone with the UAW, the workers, the car companies, the vehicle manufacturers, the suppliers, the dealers, because the auto industry is still the backbone of the American economy.
I want to talk more about the resumption of some manufacturing in Michigan. But before we get to that, the whole subject of reopening sectors of Michigan's economy has become increasingly polarized in recent weeks. There are people in the city of Detroit who are still very concerned about their health and the health of their families. Meanwhile, people in less densely populated areas of Michigan feel like they're having to bear the brunt of the economic fallout, even though they may not know many people who are sick. What is your take right now about whether it is safe and appropriate for some Michiganders to get back to work right now?
You know, I think that there's a real problem in that we need to listen to the scientists and the doctors, and that they need to drive the decision making. But it being safe for us to go back to work, it's being safe to even go out, means that we've all got to participate in following what is recommended, which means we need to wear masks. It means we need to physically distance. There are some places that are safer than others, but there are people that resent being asked to physically distance or to wear a mask or to take other steps that protect the public good. And I think we're at a real crisis in this country, and we need to have the conversation about how do you protect individual liberties, but how do you protect the common good? And you may not wear a mask, but do you have the right to give me a virus that could kill me? And that's part of the intense discussion happening in this state right now.
You've spent some time talking with your colleagues in Congress about a bill to assist the auto industry right now. Considering the blowback that came down over small business loans that went to some of America's larger corporations, is that a wise move at this time?
So let me be really clear. There is no bill. So we have a letter that's saying the auto industry matters. But when you're talking about the auto industry, you're talking about an ecosystem. And unlike 2008, where there was just plain blunt mismanagement, this is a situation that wasn't created by anybody. The OEMs themselves are not at this moment asking for help. They need to keep liquidity. But the workers, the suppliers, there are many suppliers that employ under 500 workers, or the largest being many of them, and most of them are under 15,000 workers. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about are they going to have something to go back to? The first thing that I'm worried about, and I know almost everybody in the ecosystem is worried about, is how do you reopen safely? How do you keep the worker safe? How do you change the assembly line? How do you ensure that there are guidelines and protocols in place that keep the workers safe? Then you've got to educate the workers about them, and then everybody's got to practice them. So if somebody goes into the plant and decides they don't want to wear a mask, okay, what's that doing to everybody else? We've got to get through that and making sure that suppliers, people forget that when we're talking the supplier community, we're talking smaller businesses from 100 under to larger businesses. And oh, by the way, when we're talking about small businesses and restaurants, a lot of them are supported as the supplier community and the autos reopen. So there's this interconnectedness of all of us. So suppliers need liquidity. There are suppliers that do not have the money to be able to afford the raw materials to make the parts that the autos need. So the autos are working with banks to try to give them that liquidity, but it's not clear what's going to happen. There may be some need. Down the road, if our economy has come to a total standstill and there's a need to just incentivize demand so people have jobs and can start spending money, that may be necessary. But everybody talked about the airline industry. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm a car girl. I'm from Michigan. There are a lot of jobs dependent on this industry in this state. Nobody's asking for a handout, but it's an industry that still matters in this country, and people should not forget it because it accounts for almost 5% of the private sector jobs in this economy.
You're part of a bipartisan coalition called the Problem Solvers Caucus that held a virtual congressional floor debate this week to talk about what another stimulus bill might look like. What kinds of issues came up?
You know, there are lots of people with lots of different ideas. And I think that what's important right now is that everybody listen to each other. I am someone that thinks the human life matters and that we got to make sure that the number one issue is to keep people safe. And how do you do that? How do you, now the PPE issue is no longer just a matter of hospitals and nurses and doctors and people in those rooms, but as companies reopen, making sure that they've got access to masks and other material that they need. Then how do you make sure that we still continue to pay for every COVID test, that if somebody is sick, that they don't come to work because they're afraid that they can't afford to stay home for 2 weeks? How do you make sure that we're giving support to small businesses? And how do you do it? Do you do it with paycheck protection programs? Do you do it with, there are a variety of ideas. We're listening to the different economists. We need to give state and local governments support. They've been devastated. They are the people that are at the very local level managing public health.
Do you think there's going to be do you think there's going to be consensus for some aid to cities and counties in Congress?
I think that every single member of Congress has small cities and in their districts, and that every one of those small cities and towns needs help. And I would be very surprised that there will not be a majority of people supporting it.
You know, speaking of testing for COVID-19, there have been disagreements among House members, a little more prominently among Senate members, about rapid tests for the virus. The thinking is that representatives go to Washington, D.C. to take votes and do meetings. It's a hot spot, and also come home to the districts. You guys are some of the few who are regularly traveling right now. Can you tell us what your trips to Washington, D.C. are like these days? I mean, can you avoid touching doorknobs or doing other things that might contribute to spread of the virus?
I think it's very important that we be treated like every other American. We need more testing, period, but we should not be getting access to tests that other people aren't. Traveling is a very eerie experience. The morning that I traveled back to Washington to vote last, I was the only person going through security. And I did not see another person till I got to gate 54 at Detroit Metropolitan Airport, where Rashida Tlaib was already there. We wore masks. I had actually somehow gotten a hole in my glove, so I had to change my gloves, but I wiped. I had Purell, which, by the way, I've had for some time because I stocked up on it when John was sick. Nor do I have access to gloves or anything else that I didn't have because I already had it because of John. But there are not a lot of people. There were 7 people on my flight to Washington. There were 15 on the way back, and 12 of them were members of Congress. If I open a door handle or I touch something, I immediately wash my hands with Purell.
Are the number of people that you see on, say, the House floor, are those numbers still pretty small?
The way when we are on the floor, it's managed by the House doctor and the Sergeant of Arms. And we go in one door and out the other door. We keep physical distance. I think what's unfortunate is the wearing of masks is more partisan than it should be. The top scientists, who I don't think are Republican or Democrat, but they just want to keep us alive, have recommended we need to wear masks. I think all of us should be following those guidelines.
Congresswoman Dingell, thank you so much for your time, and we wish you safe journeys.
Thank you. Everybody, be safe and healthy.